Hello, y'all. This is Scott Merrick from the Vanderbilt University Center for Science Outreach coming to you with Snacks for the Brain, episode 27. Today we're at FIDA once again, this time with doctoral student and biomedical engineer Jerry Wilmink. Let's get right to it. Let's hear what Jerry has to say. I can see we're going to get some noise today at FIDO. We're here at FIDO today with Jerry Wilmink, who's a doctoral student in biomedical engineering, and he focuses on optics.
Exactly.
Right? Sorry for that. But we're going to go ahead and chat with Jerry about what he does. What do you do mainly? You do research mainly, right?
Exactly. Yeah, so I'm in a biomedical engineering optics laboratory, which basically means we use lasers for medical problems, particularly what my boss, Dr. Duco Jansen, and I are interested in is laser tissue damage of skin.
Oh.
And so we're studying the tissue damage at a microscopic level. Traditionally, kind of the gold standard is always to zap skin with a laser to macroscopically get some histology and look at the damage. The problem with that is you can't really detect the onset of the damage. You can just do endpoint kind of analysis.
Right.
So what we're doing is actually using gene reporter genes to deliver into the skin that we can get basically a snapshot of what's happening in terms of damage at a cellular and molecular level over time.
As it proceeds, yes.
Exactly.
So you can see the onset of the damage and
exactly,
as it develops
damage.
And the final.
Exactly.
Interesting. Now, what are the implications? Are we talking about weapon design here? Or?
Well, yeah, exactly. The main idea, actually, with this laser stuff that the military is very interested in is, you know, with the recent increase in defense, there's a lot of lasers that are used for military applications.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is if we can better understand the damage behind these laser applications, you know, because there's so many lasers out there now, it's widespread use, that
right.
If we can understand the damage, then we'll have less cases of, you know, maybe a military person going blind or having some kind of adverse effect from a laser exposure.
No, I'd imagine your research might lead to some protective gear for that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
Exactly. And actually,
so you're a good guy, right?
Yeah. I'm a good one. We actually, real quickly, the cool idea is we're actually going to use the laser to protect from future subsequent laser exposure. So basically what we can do is we can use the laser to pre-shock or basically shock the cell,
mm-hmm.
giving it a survival advantage. So then when it's exposed to super physiological or excessive laser exposure, it's basically like on steroids.
Oh,
so
wow.
That I can handle. So that's kind of my idea and Dugo's idea of pre-shocking or giving a survival advantage to tissues.
So how would you go about pre-shocking someone's entire body with lasers?
That's the issue.
A laser bath or something?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Wow.
The idea is we're focused maybe more on the eyes if we would do something
mm-hmm,
like that,
yeah.
Because that's where a lot of the damage normally occurs is laser interaction with the eyes. But to precondition or pre-shock the eyeball, and then just the eyes have this increased level of survival when subsequently exposed to a higher exposure. So
very interesting stuff.
Yeah, so that's kind of the idea.
So when you do the video conferences at the Center for Science Outreach, do you mm-hmm. talk to the students about that? Or
I go into the basics of lasers. I go into some of the historical background of how Einstein basically founded the idea of stimulated emission
mm-hmm.
in 1917. And he wrote out the whole idea how a laser is basically going to be brought to fruition in his notebook. And then I kind of talk about to the students, you know, how it took almost 50 years with Einstein's notebook in hand for these medical scientists to actually create a actual laser that would work medically.
Oh, really?
So it took, that just shows kind of how smart Einstein is. He came up with this idea in 1917. It took 50 years before actual laser, and he had it all laid out in his notebook already. You know?
Wow.
So I talk about some history of the laser in
mm-hmm.
general, some practical uses of the laser,
right.
Some demonstrations
yeah.
with lasers, using red and green jello, and just red and green laser showing the absorption, reflection, characteristics of the laser light.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the basics.
Very
kids
cool.
like it though. It's real fun.
I bet it is. And you like working with the kids, huh?
I really enjoy
even
it.
Even at a distance? I mean, what's the difference there?
Oh, yeah. See, that translation going, I think that's the real...
Well, cool. We are in a coffee house, you guys.
I think that is the real advantage, and it's kind of a novel situation with this virtual scientist program, is I get to work over there in the middle schools teaching 7th and 8th grade science, developing a relationship with these students, a student-teacher type relationship. On their turf, we develop that relationship. And then I go back onto my turf, in actually my lab, and kind of cultivate and develop that relationship in a different venue. You know, so they can see me in the lab actually talking with them, so they're familiar with me, and so we can kind of hit the ground running, so to speak, you know, in terms of learning, and they can kind of keep learning because they're comfortable with me already.
And just for clarification, Jerry's talking about, he does video conference presentations in the regular programs provided by the Center for Science Outreach, but he also uses a video conferencing tool to connect with the students in the GK-12 program, a different program. He goes physically into the schools and works with the kids and then comes back and is able to share his lab without hauling a school bus full of kids over to Vanderbilt. So that's cool.
And this program, basically, Dr. McCombs and we're working together setting up video conferencing between Vanderbilt's Biomedical Engineering Optics, where I work in my lab, to these two other middle schools, Wright Middle School and West End Middle School.
So how do the kids of those schools, Wright Middle School and West End Middle School, hello guys.
Yeah.
Okay. And you also did a presentation at the Adventure Science Center that I was lucky enough to attend, and sort of a layman's introduction to biomedical engineering.
A forum entitled Biomedical Engineering at Vanderbilt University. Dr. Stacy Klein and Josh Beckham and myself, we basically covered the different aspects of biomedical engineering and defined biomedical engineering. Kind of the working definition that we kind of put together is that a biomedical engineer is medical, you're in the medical arena, bio, you're dealing with life, so you're trying to remedy some type of physical ailment or a medical problem with engineering tactics and strategies. So we're basically doing engineering in the body.
That's new too.
Yeah, there's different types of engineering, and actually doing engineering in the body is, and that was actually some of the problems with my research lately, is, you know, biological systems are highly variable, and so I'm having problems with consistent results in certain areas, and that I grow cells in a dish, which I talk about in the video conference.
Yeah, I've seen some of that. That's really spectacular to see.
Yeah,
that's where the whole visual tool really comes in handy, to be able to be in the lab and show those. We were talking about the Adventure Science Center presentation. That was the focus of Snacks 22, so if you haven't checked that out, go back and check that out.
Yeah, and actually I listened to that myself, and that was pretty interesting. You had some of the educational stuff on there, and promoting and get some science awareness out there to the students.
Yeah. So what else? What's next for you?
I'm hoping to get my PhD in biomedical engineering and by next May. I enjoy teaching, and may do some future teaching, maybe at the high school level. If this
ends. Vince, you listening to this?
And hopefully get a chance to do that. I actually went to university school in Cleveland, so I'm kind of used to that setting, and I really like to kind of get back in that way. I think it'd be a great opportunity.
Neat, wonderful.
As always, y'all, check out the show notes site at snacksforthebrain.blogspot.com for links to other resources and pictures and neat stuff. Also, check out the website at www.vanderbilt.edu/CSO for all the wonderful things the Vanderbilt University Center for Science Outreach folks are doing for kids by connecting working research scientists and students worldwide.
Music Today's podcast is inspired by the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com.
Check it out.
See ya!